Welcome to Whoops.
Whoops. Whoops of the week.
My whoops. My whoops.
Hello and welcome to Whoops.
Welcome to Whoops.
Perfect. That was a perfect landing. We stuck it. We went with it.
Welcome to Whoops, a podcast about mistakes. I'm Holly Perkins.
I'm Mary J. Berger.
How's it going, Mary J.?
It's going good. I've been doing a lot of day drinking and just like things that I haven't done in like 10 years. I don't know. I've been getting a lot of like party favors that I didn't know. It's just been weird.
Yeah.
It's been a weird time. And then it was like, I was like thinking, this is actually a good whoops for the week.
Oh yeah.
So
we haven't done a whoops of the week in a while because our weeks haven't been weeks, you know?
So I share a bathroom, mm-hmm. which is fine. Like, usually it's fine. But I woke up one morning and I had, like, power slammed 3 LaCroix right before I went to bed.
Oh, yeah.
And so I got up and I was like, oh, no, like, I have to go to the bathroom. So I, like, get out and I have to pee really bad and my roommate's in the bathroom. And so I, like, knock and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm in here. And I was like, cool. I really got to go. And he was fine, but he was like, okay, Jorgen, well, he wasn't in there very long, but I just realized I was like, oh, shit, I really do have to go. Like, I have to figure something out. And so I go to my other roommate's room because she has her own bathroom. And I try her door and it's locked. And I knock on the door and she doesn't answer. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I run back to the other bathroom. My roommate's still in it. So I was like, this is critical. Like, so I run outside. I'm like, there's nothing else I can do. And so as I'm running outside, I start to pee. And I pee running down my porch. And I pee running down my porch steps. And then I, like, for whatever reason, when I got to the grass, I pulled my pants down in the front yard, even though they were already wet, and finished peeing. And then I, like, shook it off. And then when I did that, it, like, shook out a fart. And then I, like, turn around, and 2 doors down, my, like, elderly neighbor is, like, sweeping her porch.
Oh, my God.
And I know she didn't hear the fart, but I know she saw my bare ass.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That is insane. What did you do after that?
I just walked back inside and I took my pants off. Well, here's the thing. It's like, I've dealt with like pee my entire life. Like, I've had a sibling who wet the bed all the time. So it's like, I know about pee.
Yeah. It's not terrible to you.
Yeah. So I was like, I know what it's like when your stuff has pee on it. So I like just took my pants off and changed clothes and just like did a load of laundry.
Oh my and God.
I know. I just wasn't even like, I was like, whatever. Like, I walked in and I was like, yeah, guys, I'm sorry. I peed in my pants. Like, I didn't mean to.
So you told your roommates?
Yeah. I was like, I didn't mean to. I just was in a hurry and I couldn't make it to the bathroom. Because I didn't want them to feel bad and be like, oh, I was in there and that's why she peed her pants.
Oh my God.
So I understand why people say they don't want to share a bathroom because I'm like, well, I don't want to pee in my pants again.
Wow. Yeah. No, one time I did a similar thing. Well, it's not that similar, but like one time, I had this like friend with benefits and I was at his house and it was the day after my sister's wedding. So I went to my sister's wedding and then got hammered. Like,
oh shit.
I drank. So I had a cold and I had to sing at her wedding. And so,
oh, nice.
But like to like soothe my voice or whatever, one of the bridesmaids just kept funneling me whiskey.
Oh my gosh.
And I was drinking like hot whiskey and lemon and honey and stuff. And so during the wedding, I was like a little buzzed. And then at the reception, they had a bunch of like opened wine and stuff. And they were like, drink it. Like, we're not going to, like, we can't take it, you know? And so me and another bridesmaid just, like, slammed a couple bottles of wine. And then I was so drunk. And
I throw up.
I was hooking up with this guy who was in a band, and I knew his band was playing in town that night. So I like had somebody from the wedding drive me to the bar where he was playing, and then we went to his house, and I woke up the next morning and I was so hungover. And
oh my God,
I went to like, he got up and went to the bathroom, and I realized that I had to throw up. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to puke. Like, this is terrible. He's in the bathroom. I can't get in there. And so I ran to his kitchen and I puked in his kitchen sink. And he never knew.
Just had liquid?
Yeah, it was just.
Did well, you wash it out?
I washed it down the sink. Yeah, just cleaned out the sink completely. And he never knew that I had done
cleaned
that.
It out.
Yeah, I took care of it. But so that's not as, like, nobody saw my bare ass, but that is so funny. And also to put in context for our listeners, Mary J lives across from a school, so technically I think you're, like, a sex offender now.
A sex offender, yeah.
You can't take your pants off in front of a school. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is a whoops for sure. There have been times where I've been like, I'm about to piss my pants. Or like, you know, when you have to pee so bad and then you make it to the bathroom and like as soon as you see the toilet, you're like, oh my God, I'm starting to pee and I'm not there yet.
I know. You like start sitting down and then you're like, oh shit, I just got this on the toilet seat.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I'm already peeing. That. Yeah.
I get that totally. Like, when people are like, oh, stop spraying on the toilet seat. I'm like, I get it. My problem is when people don't clean it up. It's like, we all might spray a little, but.
Me too. I don't, even before coronavirus, I used to, which I still do, but I used to carry on like a spray hand sanitizer. And I would just like sanitize the toilet as soon as I sat down and as soon as I got up.
Really?
Yeah. If I'm in like a place that I feel is gross, like a gas station or somewhere that I know that they're not like routinely checking the bathrooms. Like I wouldn't do that at maybe like a restaurant or something, but gas stations, airports, stuff like that. Yeah. I always just spray it down.
I remember we went on a vacation with my mom's best friend and like, she's cool, but she like, is really particular, and we stopped at like a Stuckey's.
Oh yeah.
And it was so like, I mean, it was gross. Like it was just gross. There's like 5 Stuckey's left in the world. And we were in there and my mom's best friend comes out and she comes up to the clerk who's like 16.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just want you to know your bathrooms are very dirty. And he goes, okay. And she's like, yeah, you might want to have someone clean them. And he was like, okay.
He goes,
like,
ma'am,
and I was like, what are you wanting Stuckey's. From this interaction?
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry. Did you not realize that you were at a Stuckey's?
Yeah, you're at a Stuckey's in Crossville. Like, you're fine.
Do you think people don't know what Stuckey's are?
I don't know. I don't know if that's just a Southern thing.
Yeah, Stuckey's are like a gas station, similar to like a Love's.
And gift shop.
Yeah, where it's like, it's got stuff in there. Like if you took a, gas station and a Cracker Barrel and mushed them together, and then it was all white trash stuff. That's a Stuckey's.
I remember I used to, that is, and like pecan logs.
Oh, yeah. And I used to sometimes outside they have those like, they have like crickets that you can buy. Peanuts. No, like crickets. Yeah, you can buy live bait. Yeah, you can buy. They just had like a whole bin of crickets. That was my favorite part of Stuckey's.
I liked Stuckey's. I liked going in. I liked those crystal figurines that they kept in the glass case.
Oh, yeah. Those were fancy.
I was like, those are beautiful. I still think those are beautiful.
They are. They're classy.
They hit the light just right, truthfully.
When Benton and I drove out to L.A., we stopped at a gas station in we stopped at 2 really notable gas stations. One was in Tennessee and in the middle of nowhere. And they had these plastic bottles full of panties. They were like a novelty where you could buy like bottled thongs and stuff. And they also had like crack pipes and all sorts.
Nice.
I feel like I could have bought crack had I inquired about it. And then there was another one that we stopped at that was shaped like a teepee, the whole gas station. And inside they had all of this Native American stuff. And then next to the bathrooms, they had stories about the gas station and like why it was Native American themed. Guess what? It was owned by white people. And they were just like, we love Native American culture and we wanted to honor that with this gas station. And I was like, well, okay.
I want to honor Native Americans with this Stuckey's.
How much money do they get from this gas station? Like, you're not funneling this into a reservation. You're just like keeping it. They'd be like, yeah. I don't know, let's use a teepee. Yeah, but gas stations, I love a gas station. I love it. If you can buy a hat in a gas station, you're in the right place.
That's true.
Oh, hello. That's true.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up, guys?
I'm Holly.
What's up, Andy? It's good to see you.
Hi, Holly. I'm Mary. Good to see you. Good to meet you, Holly.
Good to meet you. Welcome to the podcast.
We're talking about Stuckey's right now.
Yeah, we're talking about gas stations.
Stuckey's. I haven't seen a Stuckey's in a minute.
That's
we'll introduce you properly, what we were talking about.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So I love a Stuckey's because I love any place where you can get like a pizza and a hat.
That's what I just said. Yeah, I just said it. If you can get a hat at a gas station, it's right.
Yeah, and the like crystal like figurines in their like glass case.
Mm-hmm. And bongs, but it's like you also seem like you voted to not legalize weed, so why do you sell so many bongs?
In your
gas station.
Exactly. Yeah, they sell like
rat pipes, I think you mean.
Sorry, water pipes, of course.
Water pipes.
Bubblers.
Novelty.
Bubblers.
What if you went to somebody's house and they just had a bong and they were like, no, I put water in there. We don't. It's not for smoking.
It's just for, I purify my water with this bong.
What if you saw somebody be like,
I'm redoing my pipes.
Yeah. If they're like, would you like a glass of water? I'll run it through my bong. You're like, oh, okay. No, thank you.
I would love it.
That's amazing. Well, great. Well, we will introduce you to our guest that we've already started speaking to. We have a great guest this week. He's a Chicago-based comedian, and he's very funny. We're happy to have him. Please welcome Andy Fleming.
Oi, oi.
Hello again.
What's up, guys? Hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for agreeing to do the podcast. We're so happy to have you.
How's your pandemic going?
Your purple tank.
I did. It's not a tank. It's a cutoff tee, Mary, and you know that there's a big difference.
I'm sorry. You're exactly right. It is a cutoff
tee. You're wearing a tank.
It once had sleeves.
Don't you ever comment on what I'm wearing.
We're in stages of t-shirts right now. Mine has sleeves. Yours doesn't. Hers never had sleeves.
Even less. Strap.
Listen, I'm at home, and I'm coming off of ecstasy, okay? I'm having a day, okay?
Happy Tuesday.
I don't think doing something before, I don't think you're still coming off of it the next day. I mean, ecstasy, though, is a hell of a thing.
I just like to say that as, like, an excuse for anything I do for the next 5 days.
Oh, yeah. You can.
Sorry, I'm coming off of ecstasy from Memorial Day.
I'm so sorry. I'm a whirlwind right
I'm
now.
I'm rolling.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I rolled a week and a half ago, so I'm still adjusting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help it.
I'm still like, finding Molly residue.
Sometimes
you know,
if I...
my fingernails.
Exactly. You just say things like, oh, I don't know. I tried cocaine 6 years ago, so I'm still really... Mm-hmm. My sinuses are adjusting.
Yeah. Sorry. I must have had a cocaine flashback.
Yeah. You were like, oh, you did coke? No, but, you know, maybe.
No, just sometimes I can't stop talking at parties, and I just assume that must be a cocaine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just on cocaine.
I recalled the time that somebody asked if I was on coke.
Yeah. That's what it is. My bad.
I heard somebody say the other day they were like, it's somebody that wants people to think that they, like, do a lot of coke, which I'm not sure why you would want someone to think you do a lot of coke. But, like, I'm not shaming, but, like, I wouldn't be, like, man, I hope everyone knows that I've drank, like, 2 12-packs of Miller Lite in, like, 3 days. Like, I don't want people to know that. And so it's, like, I don't get it.
Unless I'm, like, looking for a drummer. If I'm, like, auditioning drummers, then I want someone who said that they just did a lot of coke.
Then you're, like, great, you're going to really, Travis Barker, get out here.
Yeah, you're going to tell this.
You're hired.
Thank God you survived that plane crash.
Oh, I like God. The only drummer I can name is Travis Barker.
You know, he's an icon in the drumming world. He's highly respected.
People are like, he's good, though.
Yes. We don't want to get hate from Blink fans, okay?
Not at all. No. There's 182 of them left. That's why they're named that. It's a prop, it was a prophecy.
Wait, that's...
wait, Mary. Mary, what did you hear someone say about Coke? What? What did you hear someone say about Coke?
Oh, she was like, she posted on her status, she was like, somebody told me I would be the like first person at a party to do a rail of Coke, and I was like, who says a rail of Coke? Like,
yeah,
I just hadn't heard that in so long.
It's the phrase of someone, exactly, it's the phrase of someone who like has only heard about Coke from Aaron Sorkin,
right? It's somebody that's like,
they're,
I don't know,
rails.
They're like, I watched Uncut Gems, similar feeling.
Exactly.
You guys get it.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm not a, like, I think it's very strange when people really like glamorize their drug use on the internet. It's like, mm-hmm. like, I'll
it's
have,
like, do you not have a job?
I used to date a guy that would like post pictures every time he did mushrooms. He would like post a picture of the clump of mushrooms.
Oh,
and I'd
dang.
Be like, what is this? Like, what do you want people to think that you're a shroom dealer? Because that's all that will come from this.
But, I don't want people to ask me for things. I don't want people to ever think they can get something from me.
No.
That's
right.
I want to maintain that I'm useless.
Yeah, because you were, I mean, we are talking about people glorifying drugs on the internet, and, you know, you were telling a story on your podcast 5 minutes ago about doing ecstasy last night, but...
I did tell a story. I was saying it as an excuse.
And to be fair, I think that if anybody is a listener of our podcast, they know that Mary J is not trying to live a glamorous life.
Right, right. That's very true. Did you tell people where you got it, Mary?
No.
Okay. So,
I got it from my roommate who got it from someone else.
Yeah, suffice to say, you just got it, like, sort of handed off to you. It's not like you, like, know a guy or anything.
No, it was just handed to me. Well, it was weird. Like, it wasn't even... The reason I bring it up is because, like, I should have saved it and, like, used it for, like, a time, like, I'm going to a concert or I'm going to, like, something. Instead, I just, like, watched The Simpsons and was like, this is amazing.
Bullshit. When the fuck are we going to concerts again?
Yeah.
Like, that's true.
A year from
that's
now.
That's true.
Yeah,
I might as well have just taken
it. Yeah. And so,
okay,
yeah, this is the
right.
perfect time
Thank
to
you.
Take it.
Yeah, but also, don't do drugs, listeners. We're not a pro-drug podcast, as we've been accused of by several mothers.
No. But
despite what
sell,
Angie says.
We do sell a selection of glass pipes and water bubblers.
Yeah. Our
yes,
merch is
true.
All bongs, but... They're for water. We're very pro water
yes.
podcast.
Like, it's for tobacco, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I smoke my hash.
Everybody.
My
yeah.
I meant to say shisha.
That, I don't know what that is.
That's the hookah flavored tobacco.
Yeah.
I used to love that when I was in college. I used to
didn't,
be like,
didn't we all?
The hookah bar.
We all loved it when we were in college.
We used to have this like after hours bar.
I would still do it
bar.
Now if people didn't make fun of it.
I know.
Yeah, they will,
for,
though.
For 100%.
We used to have an after-hours bar that had a hookah table, and every time I would go to this after-hours bar, the weatherman from TV was always there smoking the hookah. It was
you
like,
gotta love it.
It was like such a fun,
what's
like,
that guy's name, Al Roker?
Not that one. I wish Al Roker was there smoking a hookah. What a pipe dream that is.
He's the weather guy, though, right? Like, he's
but,
the
like,
weather
he's
guy.
He's the weather guy. I meant, like, my local
yeah.
weather guy.
Oh, that's cool.
His name
I
is
love
Brad.
Seeing a local celeb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But not as cool as if it would have been Al Roker at that table with that host.
No, now
Klaus.
It seems like such a sad story
Damn.
That it wasn't Al Roker.
I'm like, was it different? Tell that's me like, a different story.
That's like, oh, my aunt's a really good singer. Is she Celine Dion? Well, no.
Is she Celine Dion? Then I don't fucking care, okay?
Well,
she's not famous. Okay,
fine. Well, Andy, how's your quarantine going in Chicago?
It's going great. I mean, you know, that's a weird thing to say, but it's, you know, it's like anything else. You know, we're out here. I don't what you know. Here, it's like very like you know, the you have to, like, the governor put down an orders for face masks in stores, and, like, you know, so it's like, is it like that where you guys are? Is it, like, mandated that you have to have face masks? No?
No, it's very lax and it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's pretty free for all here.
Yeah. Like, you can't go into a grocery store unless you have a face mask on here. Like, they have people checking at the front and shit.
See, I wish we had that.
You can do whatever you want at ours.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Tennessee's like, we don't die. Die if you want to. Not our business.
Right.
They're like, they're not treading on us. Like, I'll tell you that. They are not treading on us.
We specifically requested they didn't, and they have held to that so far.
Snakes don't wear masks, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I don't have them. And also, I don't understand where, like, I'm sure there is an easy answer to this, but I don't understand how everyone got masks all of a sudden. And,
I know.
Because, like, I don't see them at any of the stores I go to, I've just been wearing, like, a cowl, you know, like a, yeah. just a, like a, basically a scarf over my head every time I go out and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very hot.
Yeah.
It's but so, yeah, it's been a time. I'm getting a lot of rewatching The Office done. Mm-hmm. I think we all are, right? Like, I'm doing all the most basic ass things. I'm just rewatching The Office and the Marvel movies, which is just making banana bread. I'm doing the checklist. Oh, you know what I mean?
I've made this.
Banana bread is so good.
I just made my second batch of banana bread this week. So,
ooh, nice.
We're hitting that pretty hard.
I've been working on a peanut butter banana bread recipe.
Ooh.
What?
It's pretty great.
I do a salted chocolate banana bread. It's delicious. Ooh.
What chocolate?
Salted. Like, I put, like, sea salt on it.
It's very good.
Oh, that's nice. Fancy. Yeah. That makes you look expensive. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I know. I splurged on the fancy salt, too, you know? Because quarantine.
Did you get the pink salt?
What?
Did you get the pink salt?
I have pink salt, but this is, like, bigger, flaky. It's good salt.
Yeah.
This is... I love those.
I just take one of these lamps, these Himalayan sea salt lamps. I just grate it against the cheese grater.
Yeah.
And that's how I get my fancy salt.
Have you ever licked that lamp?
No, I'm not allowed to lick it, but I do, like, run my finger over it and then lick my finger.
Yeah.
I licked mine the first time I got it because I didn't know if it was really salt. Uh-huh. And so I licked it, and then I was like, oh, it is salt.
It is legit. It's really amazing. Yes. Like, it is actually salt. I didn't think it was really salt, but I licked it.
Yeah, that's how I've licked mine before.
Well, yeah, you have to, right?
Yeah, I mean...
I just don't trust you if you have a salt lamp and you haven't licked it.
Well, no, you said yourself you haven't licked your own salt lamp, so...
It was out of respect. It's his roommate's.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Is that true? I was just guessing.
No, it's my girlfriend's, and that's why I don't know. Like, she specifically has forbade me from licking it.
Wow.
And so...
Did she say that before you licked it?
No, I think the first time I was in her room, like, literally, I think the first time I was in her room, I was like, hey, can I lick that lamp? And she was like, no.
No, please
no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is weird. She's usually down for, you know, whatever. And so, but that she said no to. And so then I just rub it a bunch and lick my finger.
Yeah.
And that's,
Nice. It's like a genie lamp.
It is like a genie lamp if your wish is to taste a little bit of salt on your finger.
I had this roommate in college that liked salt so much that she was like, I have a deficiency where I have to eat a little bit of salt at all times. And I was like, just say you like salt.
Fuck
like,
off.
And she would bring those salt packets and she would just like lick her finger and pour a little on her finger and
so
lick
gross.
It off. And I was like, well, don't pretend. Just say, like, I like salt and I'm going to eat it in class. Like,
what? Come at me.
Come at me, bro.
That's why I've seen people do that before. My friend Jorge's mom in high school, she would take us to CC's Pizza or whatever because we were balling. And she would just put, salt in her finger and just lick her finger. Oh. And I got, my finger tastes like salt because I was holding the lamp.
Mm-mm. I'll do that with, like, like the end of a pretzel bag. I'll dump that salt into my hand and then lick that off. But I don't think I could just go for like raw salt, you know.
It's gotta be like purpose salt.
It's gotta have something in it. Yeah.
This salt was on a pretzel, therefore I can eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. The salt needs to have had a reason.
It's it's part of a recipe. Yes. It's an ingredient, not a meal, you know.
It's it's reason for living can't be just going into my head. It's like, you know, when you need to sacrifice a virgin, like if you can find a virgin that has cancer and you just sacrifice that one, then it's like, you know, not everyone as meaningful. Wins.
Right.
I have needed to do that. And now I was looking for a life hack for it. So this is perfect.
To me, I would be like, if I was the person ordering you to sacrifice a virgin, I'd be like, it has to be a virgin with a full life ahead of them.
Like, oh, wow.
It can't
be. Wow, you're Satan. No, I'm just kidding.
If I was, things would run a little smoother, I think.
The trains would run on time in hell.
Exactly. We would get the right people in hell. But
this is what I was thinking about this the other day. Like, when somebody, like, you ask somebody something and they start to type and then they stop and then they start to type and then they stop. And then I was like, what if that was hell? Was just like different stuff like that that just like makes your emotions like run high.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Or if they sent you a really intense emotional text and then you sent back a really emotional response and then they did that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you started this.
And, like, there's just always a dripping faucet just in the other room.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And somebody coughing slightly.
That's my dad.
That is my hell. Welcome to hell, the podcast.
You get on a bus, someone just sits in the seat right next to you, even though the whole bus is wide open.
That makes me, one time I was at a bar and I was in a really bad mood. That's why I was there. And I was sitting there and this guy comes and sits down right beside me and there were so many other chairs. And I sat for 1 second and then I just threw up my hands and I go, fine, I'll just move, I guess. And then I moved and I was so mad. I was like, the fucking audacity to like, how dare you? Like, I'm not trying to sit next to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I want.
Right.
That's not for me. From the Addams Family of Values, where she's like, that's not who I want. That's not what I wanted. That's not who I was.
Mine would just be all movie theater behavior. Just be people texting right next to me or talking right behind me.
I don't get that because, and this sounds like an old person thing to say, but movies are so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal to me to text through a movie. Like, I love my phone. My phone, I sleep in the bed with my phone right next to me. I'm never far from my phone. I love my phone. And even I can put my phone down through a fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's terrible. I think my version of, like, an everyday hell would be like going to sit in a seat and then it's slightly wet. You know, like somebody's sweat.
And you're wearing jeans.
Or just any clothing you're wearing. If you just sit on like a bus seat and you're like, this is a little sweaty. That's
ew.
In Chicago, you sort of learn to like, I don't know, you try to have all that or like maybe give it a little swipe.
Yeah.
It's like, a swipe's not better because then you have pee on your hand if there's pee in it. I mean, you assume it's pee, right?
Oh, yeah. I always assume it's just butt sweat, but pee is also worse.
Pee is in play.
It's sterile. Pee is in play.
Pee is in play.
He's on the offense, okay? They're making shots.
We're calling him in.
Andy, did I tell you, like, when I went up to Chicago last year, I was, like, waiting for the train. And the doors open, and this lady, like, motions for me to go ahead. But she did it weird, so I didn't understand what she was doing. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, are you not pregnant? And I was like,
oh, no.
It made me laugh so hard, because she was just like, I'm going to turn off the politeness right now. Like,
yeah.
What did you do?
I just didn't go when she, like, motioned
No,
for
but
me
I mean, what did you do
when
she said, are you not pregnant?
I just said nothing. I'm scared. I just got on the train. I'm not confrontational.
I mean, I 100% would have just held my belly and been like, yes, then we both of us thank you very much.
Yes, actually, I am pregnant.
Move and on. I need $100.
Also, Mary J.
That's
like,
what a baby costs.
Like you're not positive that you weren't at the time.
No, that's true. I wasn't. Yeah. Am I ever positive? Like one time, my friend started this like joke at a wedding that I was in that I was pregnant, and like it got out to like people that didn't know it was a joke, and I got like hammered at that wedding. And some of the, like, other wedding party people were, like, mean to me because they thought I was just, like, making my baby, like, swamp-eyed or something.
Swamp-eyed.
Yeah, that's the general fear of alcohol while you're pregnant.
Yeah. I have a friend who has fetal swamp-eyeism.
Yeah, that's how everybody... If you have a lazy eye, your mom drank while she was pregnant, and it's just a fact. Mm-hmm. She didn't drink much, but she'd have a glass of wine every now and then, as her doctor advised. Mm-hmm. Now you got a lazy eye.
When my friend told me she was pregnant, I was happy for her, but immediately I was like, shit, can I vape in the car? Like, I don't fucking know. Like,
Where'd you land on that?
I was like, if I crack my window, can I vape?
And she was like,
were you not going to crack your window? Like,
right, that's the thing I would ask.
You're there hotboxing Preggy Peggy.
Were you not, like, you just weren't going to open it? Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
You, like, great. Not only don't crack a window, but you set it to circulate the air.
I'm like, you get it. I start lighting up cigarettes as soon as she tells me I'm pregnant. I'm like,
she's like, oh, this calls for a cigar.
Yeah.
I'm so proud.
Yeah, they're like, can I vape in here? No? Okay, then I'll just smoke. Thank you.
I do this thing when I would go, like, try on clothes in the dressing room. And I did it in high school, and I don't know why it made me and my friends laugh so hard. It was so stupid. But, like, we would be in a dressing room at, like, the Gap or something, and we would, like, ask the woman or man, like, we would ask whoever was working, like, a couple of questions, like, do you have this in another size, like, when we're in the dressing room, and we'd ask something else, and then I'd be like, oh, one more thing, can I smoke in here? And I always did it just to, like, see what their face would be, and one time this woman goes, oh my God, no. And I was like, I'm like, no. And it was like, I was
no, you can't smoke in here. You're pregnant.
You're pregnant.
Not with that baby. This is a maternity store.
You can't handle it.
Well, Andy, so do you have a story of a mistake or a whoops, as we refer to them, that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, so I don't know if other guests of yours have talked about this, but it is like a sobering thing to prepare for your podcast because you like have to sort through all your failures.
Yeah.
And like think about,
we love
think about what you want to talk about. And so for the past 24 hours, basically, I've just been like thinking about all the different failures that I've had in my life. And, you know, I don't think I like normally think of things in terms of that, you know, like I think that I kind of feel like whatever things happen the way they're supposed to happen. Yeah, I normally don't think of like, you know, because I'm like very happy where I am in my life right now, and yeah. I wouldn't have gotten to here unless I would have made a bunch of mistakes on the way, you know. I mean, the particular mistakes that I made, even. But so I guess what I'm going to talk to you guys about, like, what is probably I never talk about this because it's something that I'm so ashamed of. Even though,
okay.
It's something that no one really knows because I don't talk about it that much. But basically, it's about my time in college, which was at the University of Memphis. Do you guys both have degrees or what?
Yeah, mine's like pretty pointless. I got a university studies because my dad was mad and he wanted me to like graduate.
And so is university studies kind of just like
elective
gen ed? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was fine. I got to take whatever I wanted. Like I just could like, I had to have two concentrations. So I got French and political science and then, which is like two minors, and then I just could take a bunch of electives, and they had to be like the different levels, like the 3,000 and 4,000 level and the 1,000 and 2,000. So I took like Spanish, Portuguese, Italian. I took a bunch of sociology. It was fun as fuck.
Whoa.
I loved it.
Can you speak a bunch of languages now?
No, because I only took like first, like, because I had to get all my gen ed stuff out of the way, and then it was like I only had time to take, because I could only take a certain number of 1,000 level courses, so I could only take like a couple early on language classes, so I learned right. basic words.
Right. So you're conversing.
But it was fun. I wouldn't even say that.
Where did you go, Holly?
So I transferred colleges a lot. Like, I went to a bunch of different colleges. And it turned out, like, I probably just should have stopped after I didn't like the one and just not have gone anymore. But I ended up completing college through Mississippi State University's online program. So I never actually went to their campus. And my degree is... it's technically interdisciplinary studies. So my concentrations were social work, sociology, and health. So.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those are good. So I went to the University of Memphis, Memphis, Tennessee. And I
Tigers.
That is go you Tigers. And I don't really care because, I started University of Memphis, and I had a full scholarship that I somehow got, which is crazy because I was like a B student, mm-hmm. but I guess because I was like in state, you know, or whatever. So I got like a full scholarship because of my ACT scores or whatever.
That's
and
great.
It was great until yeah. I lost that scholarship.
What was your ACT score?
I think it was a 28.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's really good.
I got a 19.
Really?
Yes.
But you know Portuguese and Spanish.
No, I don't.
Did you tell him you were pregnant? Is there a thing where you get a couple points for being pregnant?
I've been pregnant for 12 years. Can I get my ACT score changed?
I am seeking a 30-second term abortion. Can I?
Every kid that you have, you get 2 extra points on your ACT.
But so I got this for it. So I think that the worst thing that happened to me was during college orientation, they kept saying over and over, you have to go to class. Like, and that was something that they really hammered home, is like, you got to make sure you go to class. When classes start, you got to go to class. And like, if they hadn't said that so much, it never would have even occurred to me that it was that much of an option. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And so because they kept saying that, I was like, oh, I cannot go to class. Like, they wouldn't be saying this if people mm-hmm. weren't doing fine, not going to class. So I never went to class. I mean, I went to class, like, you know, it depended. Like one semester, I failed astronomy, which I failed like 2 or 3 times because I would just stop going to the classes. But I passed the lab because there was a girl in the lab that I thought was cute. And so I like kept going to talk to her. And yes. then we ended up like going out on a date after the last lab. And then like,
it was me.
And it was, and that woman was Mary Berger, and she's pregnant with my child. yeah, and so I just would always feel, so the first thing that happened was that, I guess the way this breaks down is first I lost my scholarship, and then I was able to appeal it and get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lost it again.
Oh, man.
Straight up. And,
is this your lottery?
I guess it was lottery.
Because I had really to do sure. the same thing.
You lost it in Sorry, appeal?
Uh-huh.
And then did you keep it the rest of the time?
No.
Okay. So we have similar stories here.
Go on. Sorry.
No, it's okay. So I lost it, and then and this is truly like the deepest, darkest part of it for me is that like my grandmother had died like when I like right after right when I was in high school, and that so I had like what they call, and this is a dirty word, I had like a trust fund basically, and so then that got dipped into to like start paying for my. And by dipped into, I mean depleted, to pay for the rest of my college. And, like, but meanwhile, I kept, like, not... So at this point, I'm like 3 or 4 years into college, and I have started working at in radio in Memphis, which is not as glamorous as it sounds. I was like setting up tents for remotes at car dealerships and stuff. But I knew I wanted, like, I was going to school to like learn how to work in radio. You know what I mean? And like here, I kind of felt like I was not there, but like doing it and like getting my foot in the door, and like would have been able to do anything I wanted from where I was at, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I also just started, I think just improv, not stand up yet. But because I would do improv for like 6 years in Memphis and then never again. So I was doing like comedy and I was doing radio, which were like the things that I wanted to learn how to do. And so my interest in school just kept depleting along with this trust fund, which I never like, you know, really saw much of because it went to school and it went to like, you know, like the apartment that I was living in for like the first year of my like, you know, college life that I lived off campus. And then like when that was gone, like my mom still, I think, paid for one semester just like out of her pocket. And like that was the final semester, because that was the semester that I got like straight F's, like a buckshot, they call it 0.0. There are like so many parts of that to be ashamed of for me. And it's like losing the scholarship again, having a trust fund but squandering it, and then wasting some of my mom's money. So there's like four, that's a four level deep mistake.
Yeah. Me.
That is so, I literally, this is so, I did the same thing. I had the same, like, mm-hmm. I had a trust fund from my grandparents, and it was supposed to cover like the, like, rest of what my lottery didn't cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course I lost my lottery, and so then we like I ended up using my trust fund in like 2 years instead of like it was supposed to last me through this whole time, but it took me 6 years in college.
Yes, exactly. It took me I think upwards of 5 years to eventually drop out of college.
Right. So that's what I was going to ask, if you graduated.
No, I never did graduate. I ended up dropping out like 30 hours short.
Oh, man.
I know, which like seems like when you hear it like that, it's like it seems like it's so close. But like in reality,
it's a lot. Like,
a lot. It's a year.
It's a year.
It's like a year, a full year. And like however many $1,000.
Yeah.
That's like a full year if you're taking
full classes.
A full load.
Yeah. Yeah.
You took a full load before that pregnancy. But
I'm gonna get body dysmorphia if you guys don't quit, okay? I know, like.
The thing is that listeners can't see, like, we're on a Zoom call, all we can see is your just billowing breast. So to have the boobs of a pregnant woman is a compliment. Like,
thank you.
No, and Mary, I hope you know, I think you're hot, and that's just a
thank you.
Yeah, see, there you go.
I'm not offended. I love it.
Okay, good.
I love when people think I could have someone would have sex with me and I could have a baby. I think that's so nice. I think that's genuinely so nice. And it's like, what? No, we thought you were using a turkey baster for an NFL player. Like, what are you talking about? You fucking psycho.
Okay, so when did you, like, so what did you do from there? Like, when did you make the decision, like, I'm not going back?
I dropped out after the 0.0, and it would have been like 2005, 2006 ish or so. So we're talking during the second Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
9/11.
9/11 happened just 5 short years before that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Too soon.
That's not bad.
And so it was at that point, like, especially where my mom was like, and that was also when my mom found out that I was smoking pot.
Which
was like a whole thing. I don't know what your relationship is with your mom regarding that, Mary.
My mom doesn't know. She doesn't know.
Really? Even though you're on her Zoom account smoking pot right now?
She doesn't know. She's not watching it. I hope. Okay. I didn't think about that. Maybe she is. Oh, damn. I didn't even think about that. I don't know. She's not that interested in me. She's honestly not that interested in me.
Yeah.
Would she care if she knew you were smoking pot?
She would just, because I'm mentally ill, like, I am bipolar, she cares because she's afraid it affects like my body chemistry and like some, and she also cares about the legality of it, which I get. Yeah. Like if I lived where you lived, where it's like legal, if I lived somewhere it's legal, she probably wouldn't care as much. But that's like, true. I think she's like, she thinks like people are going after people who sell like an eighth to someone.
Yeah. So that's what my mom, so my mom, because it was because I was like starting to do open mics and stuff, and I was putting videos up on MySpace or whatever the fuck. And like, and so my mom saw a video of me doing stand up where I talked about pot, and like, I had to like go over to her house and like have a sit down with her about it. And,
oh
like,
man.
She was just like, but literally one of the things she said to me is she's like, what if there's a policeman in the audience?
He's going to arrest you.
Yeah. If he like hears me doing jokes about pot, like that was her worry. It was that the policeman is going to arrest me for talking about pot.
Yeah.
That's so cute. What made you pick Chicago over New York or LA?
So my brother Joey lived in Chicago. And I was dating this girl in Memphis named Hillary, and we broke up, and like Joey was kind of like, well, do you want to come up here and live with me like rent free in Chicago for a little bit? And he was like, I'll pay for you to go to like your first second city class or whatever, because he had like a condo here in beautiful Bucktown, Chicago, and I just kind of had done everything I wanted to do comedy wise in Memphis, you know, like I felt like I wouldn't, there wasn't much room to run anymore. And so I was like, well, I'll go. And I just knew that I was going to like be this, you know, little fish in the pond and stuff. And knew that it like, you know, I just thought that I'd just be like a dwarf in a land of giants. And so Joey invited me to move to Chicago with him. And it was like literally 2 or 3 months later, he got laid off from his job and had to move to Cincinnati.
Oh man.
And so it was this great experience of like, you know, I thought I was moving up there, but with like kind of a support system, and then I kind of had the tablecloth yanked out from under me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I wouldn't change that for the world. You know what I mean? Like that really made me like get on my own 2 feet in Chicago and find my own way.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
No, but have you ever like had people, like, does that ever come up that you didn't graduate college?
Like literally once in my life, it was right after I moved to Chicago, and I was applying for a job, and it was like just the most entry level, like mailroom job at a I don't even know what it was, but it was just an office building downtown mailroom.
Yeah.
And they were like, and you know, I have it because the thing about going to college for 4.5-5 years is that you put on your resume University of Memphis 2002 to 2006, and you know,
right.
You don't really say anything about it. That makes
sense. Yeah.
And it's, people just do the math. They're like, I'm sure he graduated. And right. Then, like, I was doing my, like, final interview. It was, like, a phone interview. Like, I'd done an in-person interview, and then I was finally doing the last phone interview. And they're like, all right, yeah, and everything looks great. And, you know, we'll get you in for orientation next week. And just one more thing. They're like, it says here that you went to University of Memphis. You graduated, right? And I was like, oh, no, I didn't. Actually, which I don't know, like, why didn't I just lie? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
they're not gonna check it. I had a science teacher who didn't have a teaching license, and they didn't figure it out till like 2 years later.
Oh my god,
that's amazing. This is high school.
Oh, yeah, she's a good teacher. I mean, for whatever, like, science sucks, but like, whatever, people try their best,
sure.
Yeah, I just like, yeah, I found that
that's the only time,
yeah, I've like. I just remember when I like seriously considered dropping out of college after my freshman year. And I just remember so much pressure to graduate that it was like, you have to graduate, you have to do this, like you've committed to it. And there was so much pressure, and I hated it, and I hated college. I did not want to go, and I didn't care about graduating. And I just wanted to work, and I was working in jobs where I didn't need a degree necessarily. And then my boss was like, we will give you a substantial raise if you graduate college.
That's nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I don't work for them anymore, but,
I don't work for them.
I don't work for them. I didn't work for them when I graduated even, but
I don't know her.
But like, it's never come up. Like, nobody has ever like people will say, where did you go to college? And I will say any of the number of colleges I went to. But like, It surprised me in adulthood, because when I started college, you would have thought like, oh, you'll be banned from society if you don't go to college. You'll be treated like a right. toothless hick if you don't go to college. Right. And I just haven't seen a lot of that. And especially now being in more of a creative career and like being around comedians all the time, it's like nobody thinks about that or cares really.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah, the most important thing about college is social, I do think. But yeah. I mean, that's not necessarily for everybody.
I think so too, though.
Doctors fucking need to learn pre-med. Whatever.
Right. But well, like, and I think if you know the career that you want to go into, but when I was in college, I wanted to, like at first I wanted to be a journalist, and then I wanted to be a teacher, and then I wanted to work at nonprofits. And so I just was working in a nonprofit, and I was like, well, do I need the, and I mean, you do need a degree for a lot of things. It's just been interesting to me. Like, it doesn't come up a lot. Like, it's an easy, like you say that that's like a regret that you have, or like a secret that you don't talk about. It's easy to not talk about, you know?
Yeah. I wish I would have either just like figured out sooner that I didn't want to do that. Although even then, like, I'm not sure that my mom like would have accepted that.
Yeah.
But like either that or like, that I don't know, because the thing is, all of my biggest failures in life come from a lack of self-discipline and self-motivation.
Me too.
And so I think we're very like in this field, Mary.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah,
sorry to cut you off. Let me ask you something and tell me honestly, would your parents like always bail you out from whatever happened? My parents will literally always bail me out. Like,
oh, really?
I'm not shitting on them because they're amazing people, but like, I'm like a brat because of it.
I do get that. I mean, I do like make it a point. I mean, part of why this is so shameful for me too is because I like make it a point of pride to sort of like make my own way, even though that way has not been much of anything. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
even though I'm like, I live paycheck to paycheck, and like some months I don't know if I'm going to make it, and I pay rent a week late. I don't ask my mom, you know, for money or whatever. Like, and that's not to say that she like, you know, doesn't give me the handshake, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm.
The $40 handshake.
The $40 handshake. Yeah. But that's, you know,
Granddad,
I see her twice a year or whatever, you know? And so,
right.
And so it's like, It's this very specific thing. And maybe this is, I don't know what's the chicken or the egg in that scenario, why I'm so wary about asking, write it down, Chikov. Why I'm so wary about asking for, you know, for money. But, you know, it's like, you know, do you guys know the song Common People by Pulp? Later cover by William Shatner. I'm going to send you guys the William Shatner cover of the song.
Is that the Wear Sunscreen really song?
No, but it's not. It's not the worst. It's not the worst sunscreen song.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The graduation speech song by Baz Luhrmann.
I hated that.
Oh man, it was that bad song and made vitamin C.
Viscerally angry.
You remember the vitamin C graduate and that
as
came out
we
at the same
go
time?
Do you remember on Scary Movie 2 where she's like, "Shut the fuck up and let me sing."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember
that movie. This is not right. Like, I honestly feel like I would still laugh really hard at that fucking Scary Movie 2, just like I did the first time I saw it. And I remember I laughed so hard at that movie, I thought about it when I was in church the next day, and I laughed in Sunday school the entire time.
Can't do that.
And my Sunday school teacher told my mom, and she was like very angry.
Yeah.
Did you have to tell her why?
I mean, I told her I saw this movie, Scary Movie 2, and I was like, it's fucking funny. Like, you should see it.
That, like, literally sounds like a lie, like, that someone would say that. Like, no, I'm laughing because something I saw last night.
I'm laughing because something I saw. He got me so tickled, like, when he was, like, there were so many subtle things. I know it's stupid to say that about a movie called Scary Movie 2, but there were so many subtle things that really got me tickled. Whatever. I love that movie. I love the movie Road Trip.
It's like, it's not even the first time that Scary Movie 2 has come up for me this week.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, because I was just watching my girlfriend put on Center Stage, which I had never seen.
Oh shit, I love that movie.
yeah. It's a mood.
Yeah. And so, she brings him dessert. I fucking cringe. I'm like, don't you ever show your hand to a man you slept with. You can't fucking do that. Never show someone you care about them. That's ludicrous.
But I was just thinking about how, so first of all, it seems crazy that like the Wayans never did like a dance movie parody.
That's so true.
And all I can think of is the scene in Scary Movie 2.
Oh, not Scary.
Where they're parodying Save the Last Dance.
Oh, yeah.
And he's teaching her the right, left, break yourself. This is such a deep reference. No one cares. Anyways.
I love any Save the Last Dance parody. Right? That movie is insane.
It's a movie
is so good.
She's a terrible dancer, though. That's the kicker. Like, they're all like, oh, mm-hmm. You got moves, huh, white girl? And it's like, no, she doesn't, though. Like, she absolutely does not.
I love it.
Do you remember in Center Stage when they, like, she's, like, dancing and she makes that, like, spit noise with her mouth?
I don't remember
that. I don't either, but.
All right. I was like, what the fuck? Why would they get that on camera?
I actually did just remember that there is a dance parody movie that's called Freak. Oh boy, what's it called? I think it's called Freak Show or Freak Out. Fuck it. It's a UCB movie and it's called. I'm not going to pull it. Anyways, it's very funny and people
we'll cut it.
But all this to say, yeah, cut that out. All this to say that the song's Common People is all about. This girl comes up to him, like, in a bar, basically, and she's, like, the chorus is, like, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries it, so he, like, tries to show her what poor people life is like, but the whole thing is, like, you know, you could never understand how it feels to live your life with no meaning or control, you know, because when we're watching Roaches Climb the Wall, if you called your dad, he could stop it all. Mm-hmm. And, like, that, like, cuts me every time I hear it, because it's, like, you know, I want to be the artist.
Yeah,
but like I come from this, like, I come from this place that is not, like, that's very cushy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like sometimes I am the problem there. that I'm like, yeah. Like, my family does not have money, but we did when I was a kid, and then essentially, like, Hurricane Katrina affected my dad's business. We lost everything. And so, like, I didn't have money from, like, freshman year of high school on. So, like, my parents did not contribute, like, a penny to my college, which is why I have a lot of student loan debt. But, like, they just didn't have money. Like, really, until a few years ago, like, we just did not have any money. And so, and I used to work as a nanny for very wealthy families. And so my, like, view of that was very skewed and very, like, the rich people are fucking nuts. Oh, yeah. And they're the problem.
Holly was my nanny.
For her baby, yeah.
For me.
So Holly, you were the parasite.
Yes. I was very much like that. Okay. Yes. I was like the family. I was just like the person that was just like, I mean, when I say I worked for, like, mega rich people, like, we took the private company jet to a villa in Italy once. Like, it was.
What the fuck?
I'm talking money. Yeah. Like, the baby.
That's awesome.
For the baby's first birthday, she got a $14,000 pearl necklace. That's made for babies.
What the hell? How much does pearls, like, legit cost? That's so fucking...
I don't know.
That's not real. Pearls don't cost that much money.
Tiffany's baby necklace.
From the richest clams, or the richest oysters that they could find.
He's like, I'll sell these oysters to you.
But either way, like
60,000 hundy sticks.
And, like, growing up, my mom's best friend was very wealthy, and so, like, I just kind of, like... Like, I've had friends who are similar, where it's, like, I love them as people, but I know that, like, if I, like, I think now, but there was, like, a time where if I couldn't pay my rent, nobody could either. And, like, I was just going to lose my house, you know? Or, like, if my car broke down, nobody's going to lend me the money to fix it. Like, I just, I'm shit out of luck. And so something about, like, people who would be like, oh, I'm struggling. Like, I can't, like I have a friend who comes from a lot of money. And she will sometimes be like, oh, like, it's, I'm so broke right now. I can't afford to do that. And I'm like, okay, but you're like, not broke. Because, like, you've got money.
Right.
And so I had to, like, in the last, like, probably year, really, I've taken, like, I've realized, like, I'm a little hard on people who have money or come from money and, like, have had to work on, like, giving people a chance and being like, it's okay, like, you can still be an artist and a creative and have problems and have money. And,
oh, yeah.
Like, I think I just have had that kind of mindset where it'll be like, you know, like, well, if you have nothing, if you don't have to worry about money, what do you have to worry about? And
yeah, and that's 100%. So, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just like, I think that is not a good way to think. Like, it's something that I'm actively trying to, like, not view that people that way and just be a little bit more, like, humanist about it, where it's like, yeah, but we're all struggling with things. Like, rich people have a lot of problems. Even though money would solve a lot of mine, it doesn't mean that that doesn't, like, other people don't have problems.
Yeah. And I do get that, because when I see, so when I see a comedian, I, like, have to believe that they have suffered in their life before I can think that they're funny, or I have to believe I can't believe that they had a good time in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, and so, like, for, like, women or minorities, they get an automatic pass. I already believe that they've suffered. And so it's mostly just, like, handsome white dudes that I have a lot of trouble with.
Yeah.
And present company excluded, obviously. but, like, do you guys know Drew Michael?
Mm-mm.
Drew Michael, stand-up comedian. He just had an HBO special where it was just him talking to a camera for most of it. Well, so I know Drew from Chicago. And, like, when I first met Drew, I couldn't get on board with him because he's very handsome and he's very funny and dark. But it's like, I didn't believe that he had ever suffered a day in his life.
Yeah.
He came from money. And then, someone told me that he's completely deaf in one ear. And, like,
what?
My viewpoint of him changed like that.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden I was like, oh, I get it. Okay. I get it.
Yeah.
Is it like your eyes where one ear takes completely over?
It's like Daredevil, where then all of his other senses are super hyped.
He feels things heavily.
I remember, like, he'd be doing my show, and I'd be like, you know, I'd go up to him and I'd be like, hey, you're next, and he would have to turn his other ear and be like, sorry, can you say that again?
Oh, yeah.
Also, this is off the topic, but I had a friend in Memphis who, when we would hang out at the P&H, which I think you've been to, Mary.
Yeah.
She has a fake ear completely, something that's like a birth defect. And so she has, like, basically magnets right here and then a fake ear that she can take on and off.
And,
whoa.
Yeah. And it just attaches to the magnets. And she would go up to dudes in bars and say, tell them
I
that
love
she has
magnets.
A, she would say that, all right, calm down and say clown posse. She would tell them that she has a fake body part, and if they could guess what it was, if they couldn't guess what it was in three tries, they had to buy her a drink. And it's such a great trick, because they'd be like, oh, is it your boobs? And she'd be like, what?
That's really funny.
Yeah. Oh my god. Wow, that's so fucking, I like when people can take their tooth out and then they put it back in.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's so fucking funny and, like, gross and, like, interesting. One time this guy took his eye out and I cried.
Where?
Yeah.
He took it out in an alley.
That's the worst place to take it out.
What the hell?
He took it out in an alley and he was like, I can take my eye out. And I was like, huh? Like, I was like, I didn't know, because I didn't expect it. And I'm weird about body stuff. Like, I don't like whenever I see shots or any kind of body thing, I get this, like, feeling in my knees where I can't walk. Like, it feels like,
oh my god.
When you say shots, you mean like needles?
Yes. Like, I want to watch. Like, okay, here's the thing. I love ER, but I watch ER the whole time, and I'm like, huh?
Yeah. So I have an ex who's like that.
Storyline.
I have an ex who can't see hypodermic needles. She like on screen or she leaving on screen, she freaks out. And so I don't know if you know this, but like that is how I realize hypodermic needles are in every single movie and TV show that ever existed. Like they are in everything. Yeah, it's crazy.
Hollywood loves needles. That's a thing everybody knows.
Hollywood loves needles.
What's the difference between a needle and a hypodermic needle?
I don't know if there. I think that's just a kind of needle. I mean, like a needle you can like sew with.
Oh, a sewing needle, like
one like it's meant to go into your skin.
Needle or
yeah,
sure, yeah. These are all types of needles.
A cat named Needle.
A pine needle.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
Needles from Back to the Future Parts 2 and 3, played by Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I have seen those movies.
Needles. Do you remember Flea? He played Needles.
Wow.
No, but I remember watching, this is not related, but I do remember watching this show with Dave Navarro and Carmen Electra.
Oh, yeah. Till Death Do Us Part.
Where they got married.
And they had their wedding invitation. It was the two of them as dead bodies on, like, tables in a morgue. I remember that very, very vividly, the photo shoot for that.
You gotta love it. I'm sure there were a lot of...
so lucky.
Sure there were a lot of needles on that show, behind the scenes at least.
Yeah, speaking of shows that love needles.
I love needles. No, I'm just kidding. I do not.
You're like, that's the one thing I won't do.
Not while I'm pregnant. I think about sometimes, like, that I don't want to get old because I don't want a catheter. I'm like, I don't want to get old because I don't want to go to the hospital and have to have an IV in my arm and then, like, a needle in my, like, vagina and, like...
Okay, you know, catheters aren't needles.
What?
Catheters aren't needles.
Well, they're just, like, tubes.
They're, like, tubes.
Okay, well, they're disgusting.
They're not sticking a needle in your vagina.
Yeah, that's all right. There's a couple things wrong there.
She's like, I told you that I watched ER, okay? I know about catheters.
I haven't started ER yet. I don't know anything, but I will, and you guys will be sorry.
Well, yeah. I mean, catheters are terrible, but they're not needles in your vagina. But I mean, but there would be other reasons for you to have needles as you get old, I guess.
Information.
I do want to get old because then I can try heroin. Like, if I'm 80, I'm going to fucking...
You know what? I feel like everybody says, like, oh, yeah, if I live to be 90, I'm going to try meth. And I'm like, it won't be as fun, probably.
I'm gonna try it.
One time, my grandmother, who lived to be 98, she had, like, a surgery. And they drugged her up for the surgery. And then she just never really recovered. And she was like... Yeah, she'd say crazy shit, and then she'd be like, "Was that crazy? I've never gotten over those drugs." Like, you could try heroin in your 80s, and it would like fuck up the rest of your life. You could live another 15 years.
I don't want to do drugs. I don't. I mean, I probably will, but like, I don't care about drugs in my old age. What I want is to eat Little Debbie's. All I want to do is fucking eat zebra cakes and just get like, the thing is, I told like my brother and my sister, I was like, you know what? Just burn me. Like, I'm going to get really, really fucking fat. And I want you to just Gilbert Grape burn me.
Mm-hmm. You're also describing my quarantine, which is just a lot of, we call them small Debras. a lot of small Deb.
They're so good.
Yeah.
We're a big
oatmeal cream pie family.
Oh yeah, those are so good. I love it when like hip bloggers try to like recreate them and they're like a childhood favorite, a cosmic brownie, and I'm like, no, just go to the store and get one. Yeah.
Cosmic brownie is like the best, just trashy. Dude,
whatever chemical that is made from, I'm fine with
it. Christmas tree cake.
It's
the kind of thing where like, if you light it on fire, it'll burn for 8 days or something, but it's so good.
I think I'll probably live a long time just because I eat so much garbage.
I think, your body is probably immune to a lot at this point.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, I mean it as a compliment.
Andy, if you haven't listened to the podcast, I'm not a germaphobe, and that has been evident
throughout
the
throughout
podcast.
Yeah, it's historically documented.
I don't give a shit about germs.
You can't even say now, that in a time of corona.
Yeah,
you know, I give a shit about germs.
Wow.
But do you feel that, like, when you go out now, do you feel like touching things you don't care?
No, I'm not a jerk. Like, I don't, like, I'll wear my mask when I'm out and, like, I'm not going to cough on people. And I try not to smoke my vape in the car so I don't, like, walk in and be coughing and people think I, like,
sure,
I'm coughing from corona. But your mask sometimes I'll say that.
Your mask is a Richard Nixon mask, is that right?
It is.
Okay.
Actually, it's great. And I do come in with a gun, and I do rob everybody.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I do
you
take
got
hostages.
To. You got
so
to.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a jerk, but I'm also, like, I'm not worried. Like, I don't think I've washed my hands more than I used to.
That's
really
terrible, Mary. You need to wash them more.
Is that really terrible? But I don't have corona.
Yeah, but you don't.
Hands 50 times more than I used to.
I'm not going anywhere. Are you really washing your hands?
Yeah.
Or are you running the faucet?
If I go, mom. If I go out, then yeah, I'm washing my hands. Or even if I get, like, takeout, then I'm, like, washing my hands and then, like, putting everything on different plates and then washing my hands again.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Do you wash, like, stuff you get from the store?
I go over everything with a Clorox wipe.
What?
Yeah.
Like, if you get I don't even have Clorox wipes.
Not vegetables.
If you get vegetables, do you, like, wash them?
Yeah.
Not typically vegetables, because, you know, they say that it can't, I don't know if this is true, but they say it can't live on a surface for 24 hours. So, like, if I know I'm not going to touch something for 24 hours, I'll just let it sit.
Oh, that's like semen.
No, say more words.
Semen can't live outside the body for, like, a certain amount of time or something.
There's no way it's 24 hours. If so, I want to meet the semen who comes at 23 hours.
Semen can live, like, 24 hours.
Crawling towards your catheter.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to have a catheter. How dare you? Semen is... what are those little monkeys you can grow in the water?
Sea monkeys.
Oh, the sea monkeys.
Sea monkeys. That's what I think about similar things. And I think those can live a while. And so I think it's the same thing with semen.
Love it.
I don't know.
No, because you can't freeze dry semen and then rebirth it in water. And you can with sea monkeys.
How long can semen live?
Okay, I don't like the direction this podcast is going in. I had a question for Andy.
Yes.
Okay. I had a question about, like, many, many moons ago we talked about what was your mom's reaction to finding out that you were smoking weed and dropping out of college?
Well, fortunately, they weren't, like, stacked on top of each other like that.
Okay.
It was, so the weed thing was like a much bigger deal. I think the college thing was just, like, after so long of me failing, like, she finally just dealt with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I've always been, like, the black sheep of the family. Like, both of my brothers graduated from Notre Dame, one of them from Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
Like,
grad school. Go Irish.
Go you Irish.
Yeah.
And,
I have a Notre Dame hat.
Oh, yeah. That's a good story.
I saw Rudy once.
And so, that's where Rudy went,
yeah.
I'm having to switch because my phone has to charge. So I'm taking out my headphones. So if my sound gets worse, that's why.
That's okay.
And I've just been informed this sperm that's been ejaculated into a woman can live inside the uterus for 5 days.
Oh, my God.
I sent that to the group chat.
Yeah, sure did.
For 5 days? My God. That's too long.
That's too long.
I don't like thinking about that. Like walking around like a fishbowl. That's disgusting.
There's moths in my vagina.
All right, let's go back to talking about his
mom.
We
need, like, a catfish. You know those, like, tank suckers you can, like, put in the in a, like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's so good. I can't.
Like the,
I can't.
Like the... No, never mind. I decided I don't want to add on to this.
Yeah,
Molly's done. She's done. be respectful.
Sometimes
Andy,
I have to cut myself rude. Out. Just go, you know what? The image, the mental image of those fisher, those fish, sucker fish, I can't. you can't do it. Well, anyway, we were talking about your mom.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So, when she found out that you smoked weed, that was like very upsetting. No, that's okay. When she found out that you were smoking weed, that was like more of an issue for her.
Yes, that was probably more of an issue than because, you know, that was out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Whereas the college like sort of led up. And like now she, you know, like a couple of Christmas ago, she just thought I was high at Christmas, and like she thought I'd like smoke pot, and I hadn't. But like because she just thought I had, I just went and ate a cookie. In the weed cookie in the nice. and then her present, she opened her present and like it was a thing that I had made like before, like that I printed for her, and like I hadn't unwrapped it because they gave it to me wrapped, and when she unwrapped it, it was wrong, and I cried because I was so high.
Oh man, that's terrible.
So anyways, she's like, I think she like is at peace with all of it now, you know.
Yeah
because like she sees I'm happy, she's, you know, my thing, and she's always, don't get me wrong, she's always pushing for me to like do something different or better.
Yeah.
You know,
my mom is too.
Yeah, for me to do it.
Yeah,
she wants me to do that.
She's like
your friend Andy could really apply himself better.
Tell Sarah I'm working on it.
Yeah. Tell her fuck off,
we're a work in progress.
Yes,
just be patient. I'm a work in progress. Who was that? I don't remember.
I don't know. No clue what that is.
It was a country song.
I'm not tuned into the world of country, even though I live in Nashville.
All right.
Okay. Well, Andy, if you have anything else to add or anything to plug, we'd love to hear it.
It's like, what is comedy right now?
Right. It's like...
So, but people can follow me on Twitter, which is Andy Fleming, 1M in Fleming, and then it's on Instagram, Andy Zaster. And I run, Mary, you've done one of these, but I run this show called Character Assassination, which is character roasts. It's just like a Comedy Central roast, but everyone's in character, like the roast, you know, it's like the roast of Harry Potter, and everyone's Harry Potter characters roasting each other.
That's awesome.
They go all out. They like sell out. They're awesome.
Yeah.
And we do that. In Louisville, in Chicago, and New York, so if live comedy becomes a thing again, probably in 2021, then that's me here at the beautiful Laugh Factory. Literally, while I was doing this podcast, getting messages from the manager of the Laugh Factory about maybe doing an online roast. What's that?
A what roast?
Online.
A roast on Zoom.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, well, follow him, check him out. I hope you don't mix up the emails about your shows and the messages about sperm.
I'll send you more.
Delete the email I just sent you.
Do what?
Also, I have a podcast of my own called 30 Characters, which is very dumb and silly, and it's just like me and my friends Joe and Matt, and then we always have a guest on, and it's basically just characters come in and out the whole time. Like, we start talking and then characters just start coming in and out the whole time. It's not important at all. It's very dumb and stupid. And if that's what you want from a podcast and from comedy, please check it out.
Well, clearly that's what our listeners want from a podcast, because they love this one.
This wasn't to me, though. This was like, I was talking about my deepest insecurities, and still, it's the most like white people problem shit in the world. I do want to acknowledge.
Well,
that's what we like. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I think it's like, the thing is about mistakes that we like always come back around to on the podcast is that it's like most people are happy that they experienced the things that they did because it brought them to where they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, like considering things, mistakes aren't necessarily like, I hate myself for doing this and I can't get over it. It's like, yeah, I realized that I should have maybe done that differently, but now I know that I have problems with this, or like I've learned from it in some way. And so,
right.
You know, maybe
it's not like, sorry.
No, go ahead. No, you're fine.
it's just, it's not like, like, you know how Donald Trump like has that thing where he can't acknowledge that he ever made a mistake?
Right.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite. It's a pathological thing that if you watch him do,
yeah,
he like if he messed up a word in a sentence, he doesn't correct himself. He just says "or" and then keeps going. Yeah. Like he's like, "It's great to be here on this wonderful night or day."
Yeah.
Like, and I just seen him talking in Megyn Kelly interview. He talked about how he doesn't think it's healthy to go back like that.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not like, I acknowledge that I've made these mistakes. I acknowledge that I've fucked up a bunch of my life, but like, I'm just happy that I did it all because I'm happy for where I'm at right now.
Yeah. And I think that that's like the kind of fun parts of it. And like, knowing that you know, like you're saying that you run a bunch of comedy shows in various places in the country, like your ability to commit to something and follow through with it is clearly something that you do possess, but maybe just wasn't meant for college, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, full circles.
Like that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast. Give him a follow. Mary J, where can people find you?
At Mary J Berger on all platforms.
At Planned Parenthood throughout now.
EP.org.
Support your local Planned Parenthood. You can find me accompanying Mary to the Planned Parenthood or at Holly Perk on Twitter, at Perk Alert on Instagram. You can follow the podcast at Whoops Podcast on Instagram and at Whoops Pod on Twitter. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much.